Chris, thanks for joining us today. You recently confirmed a third condor chick hatched in the wild. Was this your first indication of another chick, or did the sighting confirm what you already knew?
Correct. Yeah, that was first visual confirmation. I mean, we know pretty much by looking at the parents' behavior of our crew members that are out there, our biologists that are monitoring the birds. We understand that, you know, something is going on. They've been tending an egg and been switching out time in this cave. And from when they began to about 57 days later, we see a little change in behavior and then understand that they probably have a chick if they're continuing to tend to that. So, but until we actually see it, and it seems like at every stage we're looking for that next thing to occur. So once we finally see the visual confirmation of the chick, now of course we're focused on the next big step will be when that chick fledges, and that should be sometime in October, November. Of course, after that, if that bird makes it into breeding age, which is, you know, another 7.5 years later, that's really the key.
So with three new chicks this year, is it turning into a particularly good one for condor hatchlings?
Three is good. Usually, it seems in past years, we've been limited to just two. But again, it's only when you get them to that point where you have a visual confirmation, and then they fledge and then integrate into the population. That's the key. But three is good.
You release a lot of the condors into the wild around Vermilion Cliffs National Monument southwest of Page, and they've been spotted as far away as the Grand Canyon and in other areas. So at least for the ones that you've released in northern Arizona, what is their range?
Their range right now is about, from the release area, it's about 70 miles of radius, and that's all the way down to the south rim of the Grand Canyon, and then from the release site northwest all the way up into the area around Zion National Park. So that's pretty much their core range at the moment.
Chris, what areas around the Grand Canyon are people more likely to spot a condor? Are there certain areas that they frequent?
You know, it's pretty variable, especially this time of year, but it seems like their established haunts are in the area around Bright Angel Trail, all the way out around the West Rim Drive out towards Powell Monument, and also around Mather Point. We've had some nesting success down there in previous years, and that seems to solidify the areas of activity. Wherever those breeding-age birds are spending their time, the youngsters are usually sure to follow. So those areas are probably the top three.
Chris Parrish from the Peregrine Fund is joining us today to talk about the California condor. Chris, you continue to raise condors in captivity and release them into the wild several times a year. Do you ever let the public come out and watch one of those releases?
Yeah, September 29th. It coincides with the National Lands Day, and we try to do it every year at that time now. And it's, you know, we say public release because we invite the public out. But as you mentioned, we release birds year-round. But this is just an opportunity to have people come out, ask questions, get some fresh air out there. And that time of year up in the northern deserts is just a beautiful time of year. And, yeah, we sit around and talk condors, which, of course, is normal for us, but an opportunity for the public.
Can you give us a report card on how the overall condor reintroduction program's going?
Sure. We have nearly 80 birds. We're hovering in the high 70s of birds produced, both by being reintroduced into the wild from our captive breeding programs and birds that have been produced in the wild by wild pairs. So our recovery goal is 150 birds, and I think it's kind of a moot point right now until we address our major causes of death, and lead poisoning is number one. So we've had, I believe it's now 17 young hatched in the wild. 15 of those have fledged. We have at least two in nests that we've confirmed this year from wild pairs, and we actually have wild-produced young that are demonstrating paired behavior, and they should be producing their first young here in the next few years. So I think that's a real milestone. But again, we tend not to count them until they're hatched and fledged and thriving. And, you know, condors have to get to about 8 years of age before they're finally reproducing. And then they only produce one young every other year. And that's what makes them so vulnerable to new causes of mortality, they just produce so few young. They get around that, like most species do, that are long-lived, and they live for a long time, and they can reproduce for an awful long time. But, yeah, we're hovering just under 80 birds total between the southern Utah and northern Arizona population.
Are those pretty healthy population numbers, especially when compared to 30 years ago?
Condors were once down to 22 individuals in 1982, and today the total population in captivity and in the wild is just over 400. And we have nearly 80 of those in Arizona and Utah alone. So I think that's something that we as the public can be proud of, that we didn't let this species slip by the wayside. And with continued work, I think we can reach our recovery goals.
Chris Parrish is the California Condor Program Director for the Peregrine Fund, an organization that helps to conserve and restore birds of prey. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
The California condor is still a threatened species. The number one cause of illness and death among condors is lead poisoning. The birds get it from eating the remains of animals that are shot with lead ammunition. We explored this issue recently on this show. You can find that story, this one, and many more on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpm.org. I'm Mark Dugan for Arizona Spotlight.